The earliest memory I have is being on fire. At 3 years old, I stood cooking hot dogs in a pink dress when flames leaped up my body. The hospital afterward was a revelation. Clean sheets, regular meals, television. But Dad had different ideas about authority. "We're going to check out Rex Wall style," he announced, whisking me away without proper discharge. This dramatic escape established our family pattern. Rules existed for others, not for us. Back home, I didn't shy away from cooking again. "You can't cower in the corner," Dad insisted. "You've got to face what frightens you." This philosophy defined our family ethos, confronting challenges rather than avoiding them. I tested fire's boundaries, sometimes disastrously, like melting my beloved Tinkerbell figurine just to watch what would happen. Our life was nomadic and precarious, yet filled with wonder. Dad taught us to embrace the desert's harshness, to find beauty in Joshua trees that, as Mom described, were telling the world you can't beat them down. We hunted for turquoise stones, identified edible plants, and appreciated landscapes others found inhospitable. These lessons in resilience came wrapped in Dad's grand stories and promises, particularly his plans for the Glass Castle, a magnificent house with solar panels we would build once he struck gold or perfected one of his inventions. "Time to pull up stakes and hit the road," Dad would announce in the middle of the night, transforming our hasty departures into adventures rather than escapes from bill collectors. We called these relocations skedaddles, developing a quick system of grabbing essentials and helping younger siblings. We learned detachment early. When I cried about abandoning my cat, Quixote, during one skedaddle, Dad simply said, "Sometimes you've got to leave things behind." The desert towns we inhabited, Blythe, Battle Mountain, Phoenix, became temporary homes where we adapted quickly. In Battle Mountain, we converted an old railroad station into our dwelling, using wooden crates for beds and ammunition boxes as chairs. Mom's piano exemplified our family's peculiar blend of ambition and impracticality. Despite hardships, these years held moments of wonder. Desert explorations yielded treasures, minerals, fossils, animal remnants that became educational tools as our parents transformed the desert into both playground and classroom. Mom and Dad embodied stark contradictions. Rex possessed brilliant intelligence, discussing physics, geology, and mathematics with expertise, yet struggled to hold jobs. His charisma promised prosperity, but alcohol transformed him from charming dreamer to destructive force. Mom's understated drinking situation meant vanished food money, broken promises, and violent outbursts. Yet Dad maintained a magnetic hold on our loyalty, especially mine. Despite her teaching credentials, Mom chose an unconventional path. Rosemary believed hardship built character and help bred weakness. "I'm not raising my children to be hothouse flowers," she'd say when we complained of basic needs. Her philosophy reached extremes. When Dad's job loss deepened our poverty, Mom kept money for art supplies rather than food. "I've spent my whole life taking care of people," she justified, while we scavenged from school trash cans. The irony was stark. Our parents nurtured our minds while neglecting our basic needs. They taught us independence and critical thinking, yet their choices left us to raise ourselves. School was challenging due to irregular attendance and visible poverty. In Battle Mountain, I excelled academically despite my disheveled appearance, while in Welch, our southwestern accents made us targets for mockery. Books became our sanctuary. Despite Mom's distrust of formal education, we immersed ourselves in literature, from classics to encyclopedias. Libraries offered refuge from our harsh reality. At Welch High School, journalism gave me purpose. Under Miss Bivens' guidance, my father's former teacher, I learned to create order from chaos, a skill that became my career foundation. At home, Dad's astronomy lessons and Mom's artistic perspective helped us find wonder and beauty in unexpected places, even in our deteriorating surroundings. This mix of unconventional learning and self-reliance taught us independent thinking and creative problem-solving, skills that helped us transcend our circumstances. Welch marked a harsh shift from desert life, its confining valleys and struggling economy dashing Dad's promises of a fresh start in his hometown. The little Hobart Street house epitomized our decline. No plumbing or proper heating, a leaking roof, and winters that brought freezing temperatures indoors. The glass castle's promised foundation became merely a rat-infested garbage pit. Our family deteriorated here. Dad's drinking increased while Mom retreated into her painting, leaving us to fend for ourselves. Brian and I foraged for food while Lori found solace in art and Maureen sought comfort with neighbors. The hardships strengthened our resolve to escape. Lori's Iowa opportunity became our first exit, while I saved from odd jobs for an eventual move to New York City. Yet unexpected connections emerged. My former bully, Denisha Hewitt, became a friend, and even the town prostitute, Ginny Sue Pastor, showed surprising kindness, revealing humanity amid the struggle for survival. "You can't leave," Dad protested, showing me the glass castle blueprints with my designated room. But after years of empty promises, I remained firm. I need to go. The bus ride from Welch to New York marked a transition between worlds. In the city's chaos, I found both fear and possibility. Lori had secured a South Bronx apartment that, despite its rough location, offered what Welch couldn't: opportunity. I worked my way up from a hamburger joint to a jewelry store, then to a small newspaper while taking community college classes. Brian's arrival after his junior year strengthened our support system. My acceptance to Barnard College marked a turning point. Though the prestigious institution contrasted sharply with my past of dumpster diving, my unique background and fierce determination to learn made me belong. This period wasn't merely about physical separation from our parents. It was about forging new identities beyond the walls of family chaos, transforming from peculiar small-town kids into individuals pursuing their own dreams. Dad's health deteriorated from alcoholism. During one visit to their squatter's home, he took me to the roof where he mused, "The buildings are like mountains, man-made mountains." 2 weeks before his death, he whispered, "I'm sorry I never built it for you." The admission encompassed all his broken promises, and I felt only sadness for our lost dreams. After his passing, I questioned my life choices. My marriage offered security without joy, while my society reporting job required concealing my background. I'd created an inauthentic life trying to escape my past. Writing about my childhood became healing. Though initially hesitant, sharing these stories helped me integrate all aspects of myself. I came to see my survival skills as strengths rather than secrets. This shift changed how I viewed Mom, who stayed in the squatter camp after Dad died. Her independence, once maddening, now commanded my respect. As she said, "Your father and I gave you children the best gift. We let you learn to fend for yourselves."